Hey guys, I'm Ryan Williams.
And I'm Jake Kern.
And this is 14,605.
And counting.
And we are back.
What's up, Star Wars fans?
We are back for a special episode. We got episode 88
Boom.
of 14,605 and counting.
We are 12 away from 100.
I remember when we undertook this thing, we said we got to make it to 100 episodes
Yes.
at least.
At least. And
And we're almost there.
yeah, and actually, I have not told you this yet.
Oh man, uh-oh.
Yeah,
Surprise on the
I have something special for, well, let's say If we do an episode in person, which I mean I feel like that's coming up soon,
Oh, yeah.
I have something special for that. Should be done by then, and you will see what I'm talking about, but I'm not going to say what it is. But it's special for the show that I'm working on.
Uh-oh. All right,
So,
ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. All right. And he said
yeah.
he won't spill the beans yet, but we'll see, ladies and gentlemen, if I,
Well,
just send a text every now and then. Hey, what you working on, huh?
let's put it
Hey,
this way.
buddy.
I started working on this probably in January.
Whoa, this is a long-termer here.
Yeah, and I almost sent you like pi a picture like four different times and decided not to. So, considering this is the first time you've heard of it,
That's actually pretty good.
that's big for me.
That's
I can't keep that kind of crap in.
you
I'm the person
cannot. You
like I'm
cannot,
the person
no.
who buys a Christmas gift and I'm like, "Hey,
Open it.
do you
Open
want to
it
open it
like
today?"
2 weeks before.
Yeah, they're like, "It's freaking
It's March.
October, March." No, but I already got it. Actually, it's funny because I bought a birthday gift for Val. Oh, probably a month ago. Her birthday's not till August. And I'm not going to say what it is, but I had the opportunity to get this item knowing that she would appreciate it. And she didn't know. So she was talking to me a couple days ago and she's like, "Oh, I have some ideas for birthday gifts." 'Cause we do that. We'll give each other like ideas. Like I don't want to just buy something random and be like, "Oh yeah, I'm never going to use this." I'm a practical kind of gift giver.
Yes.
So she's like, "Oh, I'm going to send you a few things." I'm like, "Oh, would it help if I told you that I already got you something?" And she looked at me like, "Excuse me?" And I said, "Yeah. And I didn't tell you. How's that?" She just like she did that look like what's that gif with the dog that's like sitting there and then it like rears its head back like, "Huh?" You
Yeah, I know
know
what
what
you
I'm
were
talking
talking
about?
about.
Or the one with Jimmy Butler where he's like, "Wait a second." That was the look I got. So I got something brewing for the our next in-person
He's got something brewing here.
or for the 100th. I think you'll do it next. I'll do it for the next in-person,
All right.
which is probably coming up soon.
It's getting close.
Yeah, so
All right.
but here we are tonight with the Mandalorian season 3 finale. And you had a
So.
comment in your message to me about the show.
Well, I thought the episode was it was very satisfying, and I almost teared up. I almost cried.
It was emotional.
I almost broke down. All
It was a,
right.
that was and I know which moment you're talking about.
Yes.
There's one in particular.
But it was very satisfying. Now, on the scale of 1 to 10, I give this episode. Now, I'm grading this on the curve that they set themselves, from the last two finales, right?
So, So are you grading this as a finale, as an episode of The Mandalorian overall, as a Star Wars live action show, as a Star Wars show, or as Star Wars content overall? That's a lot of options. That's a lot. That's, you know,
depth. I am grading this as a finale based upon the precedent that it already set.
Gotcha.
How about that?
That's fair.
Yep. On that, in that case, I give it an 8.7.
Ooh,
I'm being very specific here.
That is very.
And the reason why, if it weren't graded against the precedent it already set, it'd probably be a 9 or 10, right?
I think for the season, I would probably rank this episode against the season as probably a 9.
Yes, I would agree. Against the season, yeah, it would be higher.
Because there were some good episodes during the season. I mean, in particular, the episode where Din had that asteroid space fight.
Yes.
That was pretty sweet. But, okay, as a finale, understood.
I give it an 8.7. And the reason why it's not higher is because it did not top season 2 finale. I don't know how you can get better than that. Not only do you get the epicness of Luke Skywalker, but you get that last scene where, you know, Din Djarin takes his helmet off and they share this moment, him and Grogu, like they're gonna.
Well, even the moment where he walks in carrying Moff Gideon and the Darksaber and the Beskar spear.
Yeah.
You know, like he's got it all. Like, oh yeah, I just, you know, straight up owned everything that was, Mandalorian.
That was just a lot of epicness in season 2 finale.
And season 1 finale wasn't even a slouch.
Right.
You know, I mean, their finales have been solid.
Yes. So again, this is based on the precedent that they already set, but it's still really good. Still a really satisfying finale.
I had 2 points of call them gripes. I'm not going to say gear grinding because that's too much.
I kind of have a gear grinder, but I got over it, and I kind of understand why that decision was made.
So, I mean, I think we kind of got to get these over with so we can go on the positive, right?
All right, yes.
Okay. Let's do it. So, I'll go with my second one first because...
The second in terms of...
My second gripe.
Importance.
Second in timeline.
Second in timeline. Okay.
This would be the first in timeline. So I'll go with this one first.
Okay.
And it has to do with his clones.
All right. That was a big reveal.
That was huge.
Yes.
You walked in the room. I was like, those are Gideon. Those are all him. My issue there was not the fact that he had clones. I wasn't like really clones. I was more like, oh, snap, we're actually seeing what he was doing.
Right.
And, like, another thing this episode did was tied up a ton of loose ends. It gave us a lot of resolution.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more than any other show we've ever seen.
Well, so about the clones, go back to your clones, right?
Yeah, we'll talk about that more.
Those things, like I love their intros to the show before it starts,
mm-hmm,
because we got the line last episode where he's in that, you know, his being, mm-hmm, and he's like, well, you're the one that's obsessed with clones.
Yeah.
Like I'm like, oh, you dirty dogs, you.
Yeah. You're okay. I'm not obsessed with clones. Hey, here's 25 of me.
So yeah, I love their intros because, like, all right, they're gonna tie back into this episode somehow. Sometimes it's kind of random, like, all right, why are we flashing back to that?
You know, right,
this random point from season 1.
Nice that they do the flashbacks, because especially like in later seasons, because there's a lot of stuff that, you know, is
yeah.
But at the same time, when they do that, I'm like, Oh, well, now I know that we're going to find out about that. You know, it's like, it's almost kind of like spoiling it in a way.
Just go along for the ride.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't mind it. I do like to be refreshed on what they're focusing on. It's like, I mean,
yeah.
But my issue is not that there were clones. My right. issue was, God, they were way too easy to destroy.
They were.
And that made me mad. For as smart of a character as they made Moff Gideon, in terms of his, like, nefariousness and his, you know, having a base on freaking Mandalore, having Beskar suited troopers, having his own Beskar armor, the Praetorian Guard being like steps ahead of them, like all that smartness. And you're going to tell me that the entrance to his chamber room holds his clones and you can just push a button and kill them all? Like that made me mad. It was like, come on, you're smarter than that. So that bothered me. But I got past it because I was like, okay, whatever. That's what maybe the thing is, you know, this will go into my second point. Maybe there's a reason they showed those being destroyed. Because did you have anything else to say on that point right there?
No.
In that room or anything like that?
No.
Okay. My second point is, did he die though?
Well, okay, we've had these discussions a lot in Star Wars. If you don't see the body, if you don't see the last breath, you're like, I mean, that was Beskar armor that he's in.
Yes, that's what I said.
I mean, you know,
there was no trace of his body after the flames, not even melted Beskar.
Yeah.
That's not like it would melt, but still, if you would have seen a pool of slag, like raw Beskar, because it's been melted down to nothing. I mean,
yeah.
Okay. So, but I mean, even if he was blown away, he would have hit that force shield, which was awesome. Yeah. Or just been knocked down and just annihilated, but they didn't even show him like not there.
Yeah. I think they probably did that for a reason. I think,
and
you know,
I hate when shows use an event outside the control of the protagonist and the antagonist to defeat an antagonist. Like, you know, you take all the satisfaction away from the viewer. I mean, it's like, how that's my biggest gripe is that, oh, they're having this epic battle and that all three of them are teaming up on him. And hey, look, they're going to take him out. And oh, here comes the capital ship. And, and oh, he just said, yeah, okay, well, he's apparently been burned to a crisp. Okay.
Yeah.
No, that did not sit well with me. I was like, come on, guys. I mean, the way he was using that knife with the other guards and stuff, and the way he was taking other troopers and things out, it's like, give us something satisfying. And the fact that they didn't tells me that they're leaving it open for him to show up again.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, the fact that he's in Beskar, that super Beskar suit, like, I think that has helped him. I mean, like, he's stuck around from season one, right? You know?
Right.
So, right. I mean, it's not out of the realm of, it's not that far-fetched, you know, that he survived that.
Did you notice something, speaking of his Beskar? That helmet was very much like Gar Saxon.
Yes.
I mean, you could make the argument of, oh, Darth Maul, but that's very much Gar Saxon's helmet.
I heard another conspiracy theory out there that, and it's kind of a silly one, but I mean, it's not that far-fetched, right?
Mm-hmm.
They said that this conspiracy theory claims that, all right, in season one and two, Moff Gideon had a mustache. In this season, he doesn't. So could the Gideon that we've seen was actually a clone?
So and I also wrote down that he may have clones of himself elsewhere.
Yeah.
Like, this might, why would you put all your eggs in one basket?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like that'd be the thing he'd do. To me, it was like Doombots, if you know it from like Dr. Doom.
Yeah.
His Doombots, where he's got all these copies of himself rolling around.
Yeah, I'm like, that's not a far-fetched theory either. So,
yeah,
you know,
I really think that was the real him. Or maybe he doesn't even know if he was the real him or not.
Ooh.
So, yeah, so that was some neat resolution there to see what he was doing in terms of the cloning.
Yes, and why he needed Grogu. I'm glad that they, I mean, it was kind of obvious,
I mean,
but the twist was, you know, you're thinking, you know, it's going to tie into Palpatine. Somehow Palpatine has returned, right?
Somehow Moff Gideon has returned.
But I mean, like, obviously, that's why they needed Grogu, because it is midichlorians. But, you know, that was a nice little, making it obvious to wrap up. I appreciate that.
It's almost like they kept teasing the sequel trilogy.
Yeah.
And then in the final episode, they're like,
double pump, no. Reverse. Which, yeah, I kind of like that. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Everything else Star Wars might lead to that, but we're not tainting The Mandalorian. Sorry, Kathleen Kennedy.
Ooh, ouch. Slap, yeah. Slap. Wow.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, right? The title of the episode, The Return.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was after watching the episode, right? So when it first comes on, like doo-doo, and then the title comes on, The Return. I'm like, ooh, who's coming back?
Mm-hmm.
Who's returning? That's immediately where my mind went. Right. And then at the end of the episode, I'm thinking, this title, The Return.
It's not for him.
This title, The Return, right? So I thought it could meant three things, right? I thought it was a very ambiguous title, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Return, one, the return to the people, to Mandalore.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably the most obvious.
Yeah, like the return of Mandalore as a society. Right. Yeah.
Right. Second, the return, right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that it could be, well, Din Djarin's return to Nevarro, right? At the end of the episode with Grogu. Third, talk about the sequel trilogy, right? That's why I'm saying it, because it sparked my memory. The return of the Mandalorian back to the Mandalorian, like Din Djarin.
Back to the bounty hunter.
Back to the bounty hunter. Back to, you know, the people that were whining about season 3. Oh, you're trying to bring all of Star Wars in. It ruins the Mandalorian, what it was, blah, blah, blah.
But, you know, and so what gets me about that whole argument is, like, it's part of Star Wars.
Yeah.
Star Wars should all... There should be nothing produced for Star Wars that does not tie to the overall Star Wars universe. There shouldn't be. It wouldn't make sense.
Right.
Why would you put something out and be like, oh, yeah, that's not canon? No. Why? That makes no sense.
I mean, I get it, but that was a major gripe from a lot of Star Wars fans this season.
Yeah.
Oh, they're trying to, you know, blah, blah, blah. But the Mandalorian, this is blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? I think they did a good job of bringing it back by the end of the episode. We're back to, at least we're set up to be back to, you know, the bounty hunter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the gunslinger. So
I'm going to call them BHBs.
BHBs.
Butthurt babies.
Wow. Hashtag BHBs. Whoa.
Yep.
Whoa.
Watch out.
So, yeah, you know, So that reminded me, Sequel Trilogy. I'm like, oh, the title, The Return. I liked it.
So the other interesting thing about this series, there are three seasons. This is the end of a trilogy. They have closed the book on the Mandalorian's story up to now. Him finding Grogu to him returning back to being full circle where he was at the beginning, but a lot of growth. So now he's doing missions as a bounty hunter again. He's got his apprentice, his son, and it's basically a trilogy that's been closed up.
So are we gonna
and that's open? Not to say that they can't do more.
I was about to say, are they going to open up a new trilogy? Because it looks like they probably will.
I think the thing here is they may not. If they close, so here's what I think. If they're closing it off and they say they're going to make a movie, right?
I think we're going to get another season at least.
If we do, it's not going to be right away.
Yeah.
They're going to let Ahsoka kick off. They're
I mean, yeah, we had, 2 years almost between season 2 and season 3.
Yeah.
Now, we did have season 2.5 in the Book of Boba. I mean, yep. So technically, yeah.
You notice how I called it a trilogy and didn't even consider that as. But
I mean, this was like kind of like how Rogue One would kind of be like the half a movie before A New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like
this was like continuation.
Yeah, this was like the Rogue One of the TV shows Book of Boba. That was
this was Act One with intermission. Act Two. And in intermission, they gave you, like, one of the characters came out and does, like, a little, like, song and dance. And then Act Three. that's what we got.
Speaking of Boba, right? There were some people out there saying, oh, Boba should come in.
Why?
Why? What is he going to do? Right?
Boba Fett.
He's off here. Never... He's doing this thing on Tatooine. Right, it's not like he has like this super army, right?
Boba Fett was never.
He's got a Mandalorian. Cool ship. He's got a cool ship, right?
Yeah,
but like, yeah, he's not really.
He
in
was
this story, right?
He was never Mandalorian,
right?
He wears the armor and has the occupation because of his father.
Yeah,
it's not because he was Mandalorian. He's Mandalorian. Because his father was technically an apprentice to his father at a young age.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why he's Mandalorian. He doesn't follow the creed.
Yeah.
He doesn't do any of that.
He basically inherited the suit.
Yeah.
and
he's not even from Mandalore. Neither is Jango.
He's not from Mandalore. He didn't take the creed, so he wouldn't fit in this.
He's just the first person wearing the helmet that everyone saw, and that's how they know what they know as Mandalorian. So he's not Mandalorian. So for him to show up on, like, if he would just have showed up and been like,
hey, Rich, you need
some help, he'd be like, well, why? where did you come from? Did Mando call you and you just decided to back him up? No, you're not. He's not of the Mandalorian.
Right.
And I swear, if there were
plus
people
he's got
saying
the dad bod going, so he's probably eating good too. So he's pretty busy.
Yeah, he's straightening out Tatooine.
You know, so
he's too busy.
Yeah,
he's got no need for this quarrel.
Yeah,
they can handle themselves.
Yeah,
Boba Fett. I bet you there are people who also said Cobb Vanth should have been there.
I did not see the Cobb Vanth stuff, but yeah, definitely.
I mean, I'm being sarcastic, but still.
Definitely Boba. Yeah, we were like, we better see Boba.
Cobb Vanth, give him some armor. And speaking of Cobb Vanth, you know, he did not show up as the marshal.
He did not show up. That was a hot take that I thought would happen, and it did not happen.
I did. So when I saw who the marshal was, I did a really big eye roll, and then I was like, all right, it's fine. Because he's gonna be IG-11 is gonna be a straight up. Oh, you're a threat to the city. You're dead. Oh, you're not a threat. Welcome to the city. Like, there's no bias. It's just gonna be. Don't mess with IG. He's gonna take you out.
Yeah. Talk about nine lives, man. That drawer. Yeah.
But how funny that they found a working, like a head with a working chip and everything. That was really well played.
It's convenient. Yeah.
I did like, though, at the end, you have Din Grogu and Din Djarin together on Navarro, which was fitting because that's where he was.
Yep.
Navarro is flourishing. IG-11 is back, so you can introduce him back to the stories. It set them up to be like, hey, let's give him another adventure. Let's roll another season, and it's another adventure for them.
Well, yeah, they set it up, you know, because the armorer is like, well, if you're going to adopt this kid, like, you have to take him on adventures like your father did for you.
Right.
I'm like, all right, cool.
Oh, like, he adopted him? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That adoption moment.
Yeah.
And he was
I
would like to adopt him as my son.
I started watering. I was like, yeah. Oh, man. You know, and I was loud too because I found out my neighbor moved out like 2 days ago.
I wonder why.
So if anybody's wondering, that puts a bow on that saga too. You know, yeah, my neighbor moved out. Ladies and gentlemen.
They moved out right before you did. They should have waited it out. you should have told them. No, you didn't. You didn't at all.
Why are you moving out? Damn it, every Wednesday morning.
Wednesdays at 4 a.m. I'm always awful at work on Wednesdays. Why are you awful at work on Wednesdays? My neighbor yells. Wakes me up.
Yeah. So, yeah, him, you know, in like 2 weeks, I'm going, and then, yeah, she moved out. She moved out like 2 days ago. I was wondering because, like, I was like, there's a, like, 2 days ago, I saw a U-Haul. I'm like, who's moving in or who's moving out? And it didn't look like she was moving out. But then, like, yesterday, I noticed that all the blinds are open and the apartment's empty. I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh.
All right. She's gone.
All right.
So, yeah, you're good to go. So,
well, now I don't have to get a goodbye gift for her.
Yeah, so.
Should have just give her some headphones, like noise cancelers.
I do. I have I still have the noise cancelers from the.
Oh, really?
The marathon, yeah.
Still have them. Did I have a pair of those? I had earplugs. That's what I had, earplugs. Yeah, because I had the earplugs. I had the mask. I had the neck roll. And then I set a timer on my phone so it would buzz and wake me up. So I would feel the alarm, not hear it, because I wouldn't hear anything.
Right.
I did not. I do have noise-canceling headphones. I couldn't find them, though. Those are clutch.
I bought some especially for that. Yeah. So.
It was neat to see Mando go to... where did he go when he saw Carson? Whatever that station was.
I don't.
They gave it a name, I think. Of course they did.
Yeah.
The way they do world building, I mean, it would be irresponsible of them to not do it.
We just can't recall it.
Adelphi Station.
Is that it?
Well, that's where he was out of. Oh. So, but anyway, seeing him go talk there and. That was another nice returning cameo. That character played through season one till now.
Yeah. I thought we were going to see Zeb again.
That's what I thought. When he walked in, like I sat up. I was like, we see Zeb? We're going to see Zeb? Where's he at? Where's he at?
Yeah, that was just the one.
So that shows, you know, that was his independent contractor for the New Republic. Cool.
Yeah.
Under
the table. You know, so
yeah, like, under the table. You don't have to tell them.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I'm not going to.
So that reminded me too. Lia Kane. She was absent. So she's still out there somewhere.
Yeah.
We're set up for it. We're primed for a season four.
Yeah, or you know, I mean that could also tie into Ahsoka. Because it's Star Wars and they're all gonna tie together.
Well, I read somewhere. I didn't read the article. I just kind of looked at the blurb before clicking it, and then I didn't click the article, but I think they were like, Filoni, it was asked that was, is Filoni going to, is this season finale going to tie into Ahsoka? And I can't remember if it was Filoni or somebody else who said, no, not really.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of right, you know, and this doesn't really tie into the Ahsoka. It doesn't lead right into it. I mean, Obviously, we got some, it's Star Wars, so it's an interconnected universe, but it doesn't really, you know, give us a direct line into Ahsoka.
It stood on its own for the most part. I mean, season two had a lot of Ahsoka.
Yes.
Two and a half. Man, I do feel bad for that show. I mean, I don't think it was bad. I'm not saying like, oh, 2.5.
What, Mando,
like,
season 2.5?
Yeah, like I'm not saying that it was bad. It just, I feel bad for Tamara Morrison and what's
her name? I mean, I don't feel bad for him because he gets so much love and work as a clone. So, like, anytime there's a live-action clone, he's going to be there. He's going to be the one doing it.
Right.
And if there's a – I think it's going to be huge. Like, if there's a live-action Rex, he's going to be it.
Oh, for sure.
And that would be awesome. Would be an – like, I think – I mean, me personally, like, I would – clamor and love that role and love to see that role for him more than Boba.
Yeah, I guess my thing is that, you know, everyone, if you're looking at this and you're like, man, Boba Fett really got the shaft as a character because he has so little screen time in the original trilogy. He shows up in the prequel trilogy as a kid. Very little screen time. Shows up in Clone Wars, and every time he shows up, he gets owned. You know, he's never really had a chance, other than when he captures Han Solo, to shine as, like, a strong character. Okay? So, when you're like, hey, Boba Fett survived that Sarlacc pit, and he's getting his own show, you're like, yeah, we're going to see Boba in action. And then it's hijacked by Ahsoka, Luke Skywalker, Grogu, Mandalorian, all that stuff. It's like, this wasn't even his show. They just used his name to be a vehicle to bridge seasons 2 and 3 of Mandalorian. So that's where I feel bad. It's like, that's my point, I guess.
I mean, it's like, I don't disagree. But I thought,
I guess I'm just saying I don't dislike that show. So I'm not like saying 2.5 and like knocking it. It's just funny to call it that because it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But I think he shines in terms of character growth. He's not the badass, quote unquote, for the most part in that show. But I think the character growth, especially with the Tusken Raiders, like I thought he shined brilliantly.
Oh, for sure.
I thought he got his flowers with that. But
and
is he the badass legend in the show for the most part? Not really.
And but, you know what? It's funny is he gets this reputation for being this badass bounty hunter.
We talked about that. It's not. Yeah, he doesn't.
Where is it coming from?
It's coming from legend and lore.
It's lip service legend.
It's lip service. Yeah.
You don't ever actually see him. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's instances in the comic books where he's like getting the action, but then again, it's like I don't even think that's the case.
I mean, granted, I haven't dove into all of the comics of Star Wars because there's a lot of old school ones which I haven't dove into. I mean, the ones I've seen, not really, doesn't, you know. But it was all about that, you know, because of in between episode 4 and Empire Strikes Back, when the original movies were coming out.
When he's looking for Luke.
The cartoon, well, back in the 70s and 80s, like when they were actually doing it, like the promotion with the toys and the cartoon, like that's where his legend grew.
Yeah.
But in terms of the actual screen time of the movies, like no.
So like, and then doesn't
do anything really.
So I mean, he just looked cool.
Like his legend grew because he looked cool.
Yeah.
Right.
He was mysterious.
Right.
And really, like so everything I said about him already, about how it's like, why, where is it coming from? And then he gets this show, and it's like, now it's his time to be that badass. And he's a good guy. Like, he's not even like the badass bounty hunter. He's just this.
He's a grown up.
He's a grown up.
He's a changed man.
Yeah. It would be.
What do you say? He says he's a man. What? He said something. I forget what he said.
A man on a journey.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you know what? Let me see. I think I saved it. Hang on a second. Did I save it? I saw it earlier.
Yeah. That's what he is.
I didn't save it. There was a picture of it was Carl Urban, Tamara Morrison, and not Alan Grant, that's his character, Sam Neill. And it said, just me hanging out with an actual dinosaur attack survivor and a man on a journey or something like that. Yeah, it was that line. It was used to describe the two people.
So, that's what he is.
Yeah, it would be like, okay, this is what it would be like. It would be like there was a movie where the character John Wick was mentioned. And they showed him, flashed him a few times, but didn't really show him do anything. And they talked about how much of a badass he was. And then they made like John Wick 7 and he's old and he does like a few things, but he's like, he doesn't have a lot of action. And you're like, this is the badass we're talking about, but you don't see any of it. Do you know what I mean?
Well, the way it's going, we might get a John Wick 7. So
that's why I said 7. I could have said 5,000 and done like the Spaceballs Rocky 5,000. Yeah, you know,
I hope they don't, if they do that, I hope they don't milk it like till
they're
going to
milk it like Fast and the Furious.
I was just going to say the Fast franchise. Like, I hope all right, they want to make another one. Okay.
They're not done. They're going to keep going until somebody says that movie was garbage, and then they'll make one more and be done.
Well, they were supposed to be done, but like I said, the last show, like it was the highest grossing one of the franchise. They're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a contract for three more.
I mean, it was the longest one, though. Like, if you haven't seen John Wick 4, be ready to scrap in. It's almost 3 hours.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
It's long.
They're gonna get to a point where Keanu Reeves is so old that he can't do it, and then it's gonna be like Son of John Wick.
Well, here's the thing. I know you haven't seen it, and there's probably people listening that haven't seen it, but in John Wick 4, they have a few very interesting and compelling characters which they could continue the franchise off of.
Oh, okay.
You know, which I think they set it up to where there's a post-credit scene They set it up to where, like, yeah, this is where this franchise could go,
Okay.
you know, in the post-credit scene. But yeah, you know, they're, yeah. I hope they don't milk it too
Yeah,
much.
well, yeah, too
So
much is there you go.
we'll see.
So on the end of this show, I put that it's the beginning of a new adventure for the Dins. Time can pass indiscriminately now. Grogu has room to grow. He's not strapped into or tied into a set timeline. Like this series had a beginning and an end, and it had to be a beginning and an end that was bracketed. It doesn't have to be now. They could do like this, the whole of Ahsoka. They could do like two seasons of that and not even make a whiff of another Mandalorian season.
Yeah, they're off in their cabin in the Varval doing your thing. Like,
Yep.
oh, we got a bounty mission. All right, Din Grogu, let's go.
They could pop them in wherever if they wanted to pop them into Ahsoka, whatever, fine. But they could do like two more seasons of that. They could do like another season of Andor. They could do a couple things, whatever, and then do this movie. And this movie could be like, I don't know, 10 years down the line. Let's go 10 years, okay? And by then, Grogu could be speaking a lot and have grown maybe even a little bit because Yoda wasn't that small. You
Right.
know, he was bigger, not that much bigger, but still, I mean, he's got room to grow, to speak.
He probably won't grow in terms of size too much. Maybe he's I mean, because again, the way his species grows, like how long they live, 10 years isn't, you
10 years
know,
isn't that much,
isn't
sure.
that much. However, in 2 years, allegedly, which is the time that he spent with Luke, you know, apparently, allegedly, he has grown a lot in terms of what he can do in terms of the Force.
So I mean, has it been? So they said he was 50. Was he 50 at the start of Mandalorian season one? Or was he 50 at like bat or at the
That's a good question that I don't have the answer to.
because I don't know. I mean, if he was 50 then, if he was 50 when he left the Jedi Temple, you know,
I don't know.
there's a lot of years that have passed between Revenge of the Sith and Return of the Jedi. I mean, Luke Skywalker had like birth to 20s, you know. So I mean, there's like 20 something years, 22 years have passed since then. So I mean, he could be 50 and he would have been like 30 then, or he was 50 then and now he's like 70. But still, there's been about 5 years of actual time that have passed between Mando season one and three, right?
I don't know, because you wouldn't have thought that it was 2 years with him, that he was with Luke until they
Yeah.
said it.
So I mean maybe it's
And so I don't
three or
know.
four.
I really
But
don't know that.
with all the light speed traveling, I mean, even though they're staying pretty relatively close in terms of the galaxy, I mean, they're still hitting the hyperdrive a lot. And I mean, what does that do to somebody's age?
Yeah, I
Yeah.
don't know. I'm hoping, here's my hope with this Mandalorian movie. Actually, no, or I scratch that. I'm hoping that in the movie where Rey's movie, they have this character in Grogu. I think he's going to stay, whatever they do with the next seasons of Mandalorian, whether it's another season or two, then a movie, or right into a movie after like Ahsoka and Andor or whatever they want to do. Like, I want there to be a payoff in terms of everything he's learned or is learning right now. to where by the time we get to Ray's movie, where everybody that's alive right now besides him is dead, right? Where he's like, at that point, he's like over 100 years old. So he's kind of like entering late teen, early adulthood years for him. And like we see him like as a Mandalorian or whatever he is at that point. Like, I personally, that's what I would like to see with this character.
I mean,
Like,
if he's hit that age
Disney's
to
probably going to keep him cute for the Mandalorian stuff because that's the moneymaker. But I would love to see, like, all right, down the road, like when we get to Rey's movie, like, I would like to see where he's at in his life at that point.
Well, if he's that age, he's probably going to be he's going to at least be able to say, "Geez, Dad, I know." And here's an interesting perspective from Yoda's species. You know how we feel like as humans with dogs, and dogs only, live to be like 15, 16.
Yeah.
Is that how they feel about humans and other races? Is
Interesting.
he like,
Yeah.
"Oh, Daddy Din, I'm going to outlive you by hundreds
By
of years."
hundreds of years.
Yeah. It was a blink of my eye,
I don't know. That's interesting. I guess, yeah.
Yeah. I've had many daddies in my lifetime.
But the one difference is like, how many for humans, like, I don't know how many pets. I mean, I guess there's some people out there who have a lot of pets, right? But like for the average person, like how many dogs do you have in your lifetime? Whereas Yoda,
Well,
like how many freaking people has he seen over 800 years
oh yeah.
come and go?
Oh, for
I
sure.
don't know if he gets numb to it after a while. Like, oh yeah,
Probably.
what's up, sport? Hey kid,
Yeah.
you're gonna be dead. I'm gonna still be here. Whatever.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, but that's an interesting question. I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's an extrapolated version of humans and dogs.
Yeah,
So,
but I would like to see that, like, the
yeah.
payoff with Ray. And
And
then
that's the thing, like the thing I was talking about before when I said how shows bring babies into shows. And it's like, great, you just brought a child into the show that's never going to reach their full age by the end of it. And they
yep.
usually bring the kids in like seasons 2 or 3 or whatever. And it's like, okay, season 3 of a show that's probably going to never sniff season 8. You now have a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
where does the character growth come from other than the parents who are, I hate to say it this way because I don't mean it this way, but they're basically not able to do as much character growth wise other than grow as a parent because they're tied down to a child for the show.
Yeah.
If you're watching a show, you want to see these people doing stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like that's the painful thing with Grogu. If we're going to see him actually do shit,
Yeah.
he's going to have to be like another 100 years old,
Right.
and that's going to shoot us way past anything that we're currently seeing.
Yeah. That's why I said they'll probably be around Rey's movie and her movie or movies or whatever. Right.
Yeah, she's gonna have to
Another
be
thing
old.
that I'm thinking about though, okay, so he's force sensitive, he has the midichlorians, etc. But the longer he's not being Jedi trained, right, doesn't that put him further away in terms of his connection with the force? I mean, I guess like if he keeps using his same powers, right, but like he's not going to grow in that area. So by the time we get to like Rey's movie, is he still going to have any connection with the Force, or is he going to have to learn that over again?
I mean, I would assume it's like
I
riding a
mean, he would be
bike.
a badass Mandalorian, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would assume that it would be like riding a bike.
Never
It would
forget.
just take some time to tap back into it. But who would even be around to train him? Do you know what I mean? Like, for someone to train him, they have to be older and more experienced. So if he enters,
apparently Rey's
like,
going to have all this experience. She's going to be training Jedis. Apparently, that's what they're doing.
Right, but I guess my
listen. That's what Kathleen Kennedy's doing. So I mean, Rey's going to be the Jedi Master here. I mean, so there you go. I answered your question right there.
So what's funny is then, okay, so he has his teacher in Luke, and let's even say Ahsoka for poo-poos and ha-has.
Okay.
Let's say we got Luke and Ahsoka. He learns from them. There are going to be other Jedi who most likely learn from them too. They pass. So do those Jedi who learn from Luke and Ahsoka train other Jedi who then end up training Grogu? How does that work? Because now he already knows as much of them, if not more. And how do they train him? Does he continue to train himself then? Has he learned enough? Like you said, if he doesn't use it, does he remember it? Does he have to be retrained? How can he be retrained? He's going to be trained by people who he technically should be training because of his age. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
Well, it's not for us to figure out. No. Hopefully they'll figure it out.
Good luck.
Speaking of figuring things out.
Oh, boy.
All right. Here's my one gripe about the episode that after I thought about it for a second, I got over it. And I'm like, okay, that kind of, I feel like they kind of had to do that.
Can I guess?
Go ahead.
The Darksaber being broken.
WTF. When they were in that fight, and then he crushes it.
He went all hella on Thor.
I let out an audible that they just break the flipping. I didn't say flipping. I said something else.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just like, did they just break the bleeping Darksaber?
When it happened, I was sitting on the couch.
I literally said that out loud. I was like, did they just break the bleeping Darksaber?
So Val was in the other room, and when it happened, this is exactly what I did. I went,
no.
And then I was like,
bleeping Darksaber.
But then I was like, they don't need it. After my initial
what the bleep, and then the credits ran, the show was over. After some time to sit and thinking about it. Okay. Here's the deal. The continuity and the plot holes around the Darksaber have plagued it ever since Moff Gideon showed up with it in season one.
Yeah.
Right. Like, okay. All right. How did Moff Gideon get it? Number one. Mm-hmm. All right. Then how come, you know, Din Djarin, he can't just give it to Bo-Katan when in Rebels, Bo-Katan just got it handed to her, right, by Sabine. And now we got these rules about, you know, the battle and you got to win it in combat.
And Moff Gideon mocked the hell out of her in season two about that.
Yeah.
No, you got to win it in battle, right? Yeah, right?
But then, oh, wait a second. Oh, we found out last episode that, Bo-Katan signed it away basically to Moff Gideon, right? But then we still got to win it in combat. And, you know, they explained it. They explained how Bo-Katan can get it back, but then they created more controversy and more like confusion by saying, oh, this is how Moff Gideon got it because she kind of gave it away and signed it over, which is kind of what Sabine did, right? And right.
But on the Moff Gideon front, he technically did best her. They were at war. He forced her hand.
It is a technicality.
But he forced her hand to hand it over. And she
could have she could have just went to battle and lost. Right?
True.
She could have just went to battle and lost.
But in the midst of war, he made her relinquish it. And in doing so, he bested her. So technically, I'll give him a technicality on that. I will.
Yeah.
That's like an art of war kind of situation.
In all of that, though, in all of that, I think they said, you know what? Just so we don't have to deal with this bleeping ish anymore, let's just do away with it.
He like crushed it.
Yeah.
And I had this feeling of like that was Hela and Thor with the with Muriel.
Yeah.
In Ragnarok.
Yeah.
He just like stops her hand and he like crushes it, and I was just like, oh, what the seriously? But she even said in the last episode, she goes, what does this thing even mean anymore? The people who are children of the Watch don't even recognize it.
And yeah.
You know, she really wrote it off there.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know what? After thinking about it, I'm like, you know what? It's fine. We don't need it anymore. We don't need it.
And
it seems like it also causes more confusion anyway.
Right. But it also shows a new beginning for Mandalore. They're starting their culture anew by not having so much infighting. And the infighting was because of the Darksaber. Everyone was trying to claim it as this like staff of badge of office, you know, and people would envy it and look at it, and it was like, oh, she's got it, I'm gonna get that from her so I can rule Mandalore. So now that it's gone, it's like they're just gonna recognize who rules Mandalore as this person because we think she's the right person for the job.
Yeah.
So it's kind of symbolizes a new beginning for their culture. Kind of like how, you know, when Muriel was broken and then they were like, you didn't need it. It was within you all along. So kind of that message too.
Yeah.
Although I will say she looked pretty badass flying around with that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was kind of like a, that scene where they're like, oh, yeah, basically, attack, and they're all flying around, and then, you know, we got the troopers with their jetpacks and stuff flying around, and then it was kind of like, they're just kind of all flying around, fight. It was kind of, it looked cool with her with the Darksaber, and it was kind of like a cool sequence, but then it's kind of a little messy there. I'm like, all right, there, all right, cool.
It was, but it was interesting how they had three different things going on. They had in the background, you could just see him in the background while Moff Gideon was fighting with Din Djarin. You're like, oh, look, all those Mandalorians just flying around. He had to go through this like secret passage to find Moff Gideon's lair. And then all of a sudden, hey, in the background, there they all are flying around like they found it. No problem.
Yeah.
But it was neat to see them. It was neat to actually see these Mandalorians like fighting and being good at it.
Yeah,
because at the beginning of the season when they were fighting that river beast, they're like owned by this giant monster, and it's like, I thought you guys were supposed to be badasses.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, they broke the bleeping Darksaber. But yeah, I got over it.
You know what's funny though is Gideon was probably like he had it, and it was almost like he should have said, well, if I can't have it, neither can you. Crunch. And then it falls to the ground, and he's standing there, and he's like, I like my cool sparkle stick anyway. You know, like.
I was just like, I mean, it was just the initial for me, like, seriously?
Yeah.
We went through all this about the Darksaber.
Yeah.
And it's, like, one of the coolest looking weapons. Like, I think it's the coolest, or was one of the coolest, if not the coolest, lightsaber variation. Yeah. Right, and
And what else is cool is the weapon that Gideon had was a Beskar staff, because you noticed that it was bouncing off of it with that electrical pink purple charged end to it, which is what all the Praetorian guards were carrying. Like, That was pretty, it was a pretty cool weapon.
Yeah.
I have to say too, Mando running the gauntlet was pretty sweet.
Oh yeah.
When he's like, I don't have any weapons. This is gonna get messy.
He reclaimed his show. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like, this is the return.
Yeah.
Right. He reclaimed his show.
Yeah, and to like start with the two of them, and he pulls a knife. Now he's got a knife, and then he knocks him down. Then he pulls a blaster, and then he pulls a shield and a shock stick, and he's like, next door. I'm like, yes, he's running the gauntlet, baby.
R5 was kind of annoying, though. I'm like, come on, dude. Like, man up, R5.
So I'm going to say that I appreciate how they handled R5 because he could have been a brave R2 knockoff. But instead, he was this timid droid that stepped up and helped save the day, even though he didn't want to get his hands dirty. Like, that was personality.
That is personality. But I was rooting for, like, man, where's R2? Or, like, where's Chopper?
You know, right. Give one but of those that two differentiates R5 from R2 and Chopper. If you would have, and you know what? I wouldn't have liked it if you would have just flew in there and started like zapping mouse droids and, you know, being all badass. It's like, nah, he was.
Where'd
never
he go
that
anyway?
Way.
Did they show where did R5? Was he in the ship?
Yeah, I think
when they
so.
They flew off?
I think so.
I didn't notice. I was like, where's R5?
Yeah, he's got to
just like
there.
Do
he's
his job droid. And just roll out later.
Yeah, I think he went back to the ship. He had to have.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, I got you. Bye-bye. If his ship survived, R5 survived.
Yeah.
Because he was probably like, I'm getting out of comms range, so you can't make me do any more crazy shit.
Facts.
R5, are you there?
I can't hear you. Break it up.
Sun's getting real low.
Beep, 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 beep.
Hey, I don't speak guy. Binary.
Yeah, right. Huh? Yeah. So,
oh my God. Well,
I saw one other funny thing too. So, Axe Wolves flying up to the what they call it?
Capital ship.
The capital ship. Somebody was like, "How did he not run out of gas in his jetpack?"
Right. They've been flying all over the place, and then he's like, gonna have enough to like exit the atmosphere.
I was like, that is a good point. That's something I guess you shouldn't think about. Just enjoy it. that's the only answer I had to that. Because that's an awfully long way.
If they ran out of fuel following that dragon beast thing.
That's what they said. Like, how the hell did he have enough fuel?
He would have run out like he wouldn't have even reached the clouds. He would have
must have had that like, Ultra 94 fuel or something.
Nitro. Hit the Nas.
And he's gotta go through all the atmosphere and he's gotta
he would have never made it to the clouds. You would have seen him zooming up and then you would have seen like
Yeah.
Crunch.
I just thought that was funny because like
and then he even had enough when the capital ship was about to crash to jet to out of there
out,
too.
Yeah.
Did he like hit a refueling point? Did he like get on that ship and go, "Hey guys, can you stop attacking me for a second? I gotta refuel my jetpack."
Hey, maybe another thing they explain.
My God. Yeah, but especially since they very specifically showed that it has a range.
Yes.
Like, if they wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't
have
cared.
And he defied, everything.
Yeah. They showed that it had a range. And then all of a sudden, he can fly up through space into past the atmosphere, into orbit. From underground, nonetheless. Straight shot into orbit. Not only did he fly straight shot into orbit, he had to dodge and find the entrance to the capital ship. So it's not like he just flew and just like stopped his jetpack and like dove into something. He had to do some maneuvering. So that's like, come on. They should have never done that scene and been like, oh, we ran out of fuel before we could get any further chasing him. Yeah, that's dumb.
I mean,
oh, I had a grind my gears moment, apparently.
Maybe he pulled a Leia and used the force a little bit to fly.
I'm done with you.
All right, okay. I kind of egged you on. I kind of thought you were going to go there.
No.
You know, with that, grind my gears, but, you know.
No. Not at all. You took it there this time.
I did. Yes, that was me. So.
Now, if he would have been jetting out of there, and one of the interceptors would have hit him with a zap, and he would have like been floating around in a circle, and then all of a sudden would have opened his eyes and finished his flight, I would have been like, Leia move.
Mm.
I would have been mad. I would have been like, nope, that's it. I'm done. Dave Filoni, you're dead to me. Like, how much did Kathleen Kennedy pay you to do that?
Wow. Yeah. So, I just thought that was, it wasn't a grind my gears for me. I just thought that was kind of funny because that is an obvious plot hole.
Yeah.
And I just roll with it. It's the season finale. Whatever.
I know. It's fine. You knew he had to make it there, though. Like, if he wouldn't have made it there, you'd have been, they'd have been like, Axe, hello. It was very convenient that there was no comms between the atmosphere, though. Like, they were consistent with that, at least.
Yeah.
But it was funny that she was, like, talking to him while she was fighting. So she's like, hey, fly to the capital ship. Block, 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 zap, zap, boom, boom. Fly to the capital ship and alert them. Have you reached the atmosphere yet? Listen to me. You know, like, who can have coherent thoughts and speak and activate their comms while they're in the middle of a battle that's probably gassing them because they're having to exert so much physical energy?
I mean,
I can't even think straight running on a treadmill.
Yes.
I mean, I can, but it's, you know what I mean.
You know, there's, you know, as a OTF coach, sometimes I wonder if these people can, some people, how do they walk and chew gum at the same time?
Oh, my God.
But, hey.
I guess my point is, like, if I was on the weight floor and I'm, like, trying to pay attention to a complex lift, you know, like a complex motion that has, like, it's not just a curl. You know, it's like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're doing a complex motion, if I was trying to have a conversation with you, I'm not giving you a coherent stream of thought and doing my workout correctly. Because that's complicated.
Yeah. I don't know. The human mind works in mysterious ways, I guess. Sometimes people will do it and then you tell them to do a curl followed by a row and they look at you like you got five heads.
Right.
Like, what's so hard to understand about what I just said?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm gonna focus on my curl and row, and then when I'm done, I'll say something to you.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm at work weighing out samples like to a specific weight and mixing and doing things like that and talking to the person next to me with no problem. So it's,
yeah, maybe, you know, everybody's mind works a little bit differently, I guess.
Yeah, but that, I mean, yes, that's my point. Like, you're like fighting for your life, trying to defend yourself. Think about what your opponent's gonna do. You know, blocking this, blocking that, shooting here, blum, jumping, dodging, and you're talking in a stream of words, giving instruction to somebody. Like, I think it just was like,
I mean, maybe though that, you know, that's like, because that's their culture, the fight, and maybe, yeah, it's maybe. Just like so second nature to them, like the way Din Djarin ran the gauntlet, like he was so confident.
Yeah,
he's like, all right, I got this. I don't care what these dudes are. I got this, yeah. Right? Like, he just knew that I'm going to take this knife and I'm going to do work to these dudes.
I'm going to pull it out of his boot. I'm going to block him. I'm going to put it through his chin. I'm going to put this one through his thigh between the plates.
Right.
You know,
it was, that was, to me, that was the most impressive part about that. Like, he knew exactly what he was going to do. He's like, He's like, R5, do what I tell you to do when I tell you to do it. And then
yeah,
I'm
see,
gonna do exactly what I'm this is exactly what I'm gonna do. And he did.
I didn't have a problem with him doing that because he gave instruction, then went into battle.
Yeah.
And was in as he was fighting, was like, okay, I'm done with these guys. Next gate.
Yeah.
You know. Even when he was waiting for the next one, he's like, R5, get the next one going.
Next gate.
Was,
damn
yeah.
It.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah. Yeah.
Hey, good finale though. I was jacked. I was like, yes, this is I loved seeing him sitting at his cabin with his heels popped up and Grogu just playing by the water. Like that right there was total like father son moment.
Yeah.
Like
he
yeah,
pulls
you
up
play.
He pulls up the frog. Like, uh oh.
Yep. Yeah. He's sitting there like, you play. I'm going to hang out here. I can relax because we're safe.
Right.
Yeah. Don't look at me. I'm going to sip this beer. We're going to keep this basin of living water so I can keep dousing myself occasionally to. Yeah. That was a great ending when they showed the two of them sitting there. I was waiting for something post credit, but I was satisfied.
I was satisfied.
It.
Yes.
Yeah.
They also teased that connection with the mythosaur again.
They did.
So I'm like, it's still not out of the realm of possibility that Grogu jumps on that thing sometime down the line.
Yeah. It'll be neat too. You know. I don't think we don't know what the timeline is like for Ahsoka. To know where Mandalore is going to stand and all that kind of stuff. How far into the future her show is, you know. They haven't said anything yet, at least, I don't think.
Right.
So, it could be some years down the line where, you know, Mandalore has flourished a little more. Sabine is truly Mandalorian. She's part of a clan. So, she's not like Boba Fett, where Boba Fett's like not Mandalorian. You know, so maybe, you know, her involvement could rope in a little bit to Bo-Katan. I hope so, because Bo-Katan was part of that Clone Wars Rebels crew.
Yeah.
So it would be kind of neat to see them reunited. And that might give us a little more into where Mandalore stands. I mean, we saw how far Navarro went in the short period of time.
And Sabine's like, oh, where's the Darksaber at? And Bo-Katan's like, oops.
So I know you loaned that to me.
Funny story, right? Yeah.
So see, I lost it, and then I got it back, and the same guy I lost it to broke it. And Sabine would be like,
what?
What is wrong with you? I defeated Prey Vizsla for what?
Yeah. And then they tell Ezra. Ezra's like, what?
Yeah. You lost what? It'd be like a Home Alone moment. It's like, Kevin!
Yeah.
What did you do to my room? What did you do to my Darksaber? And folks, that's where we're at the point of the show now where we're getting a bit slap happy.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, that just about wraps it up for that.
Yeah.
I mean, where we're going from here, we got on the Star Wars front, Ahsoka's next.
Yeah.
I think there's a season 2 of Visions, but we didn't cover Visions, and honestly, I didn't watch the first season of Visions. So.
Yeah, you know, I didn't either.
Yeah.
I didn't know if we should.
The whole anime thing, I just can't. I'm just not an anime guy.
So is it? It's not even so much that. It looks like every episode is a different style. You know, so it's like,
yeah.
One looks like stop motion claymation. One looks like it's animated. One looks like it's digital.
We got.
So I'm not sure. I might try to dip into that a little bit, but
Young Jedi Adventures coming to Disney Plus and Disney Junior starting May 4th.
Okay.
I don't know if that's something we want to do or not, but the Visions that also starts May 4th too.
We could talk about it. I mean, it might be one of those things where if it's all dropped at once, maybe we just watch
it. It looks like that's kind of what it's going to be. Like they're going to drop it all at once.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how long the episodes are either. Is this going to be something
like how they did Tales of the Jedi?
Oh, okay. It's not going to be like the I Am Groot series, which, I mean, we didn't cover that either.
Yeah.
But that was just shorts.
we'll
figure it out.
It looks like the Young Jedi, those are shorts. The Visions, okay. I don't know.
So that looked more like episodes.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
Actually, Star Wars Visions Volume 2, 9 new shorts. They specifically said shorts.
Oh, okay. Maybe we will cover that.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah, and they all look like, even in the poster or in the promo post that I'm looking at, it's like different styles.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I have roots in anime. My brother and I would watch shows like Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z. What was it called? It was the something Ronin. Ronin Warriors, maybe that's the name of it. That was actually pretty neat. Gundam. He watched Full Metal Alchemist. There was another one that I watched that was really good. Cowboy Bebop was pretty good. So I mean, like I've watched my share of anime.
I have not.
It's an acquired taste because it's stylistically and how they do the stories and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, we kind of got into that when it was kind of happening. Like I said, when Dragon Ball and when Ronin Warriors and that kind of stuff was coming out.
Yeah.
There was some good stuff. Gundam was pretty cool. I don't know if you're familiar with that at all.
Not really.
They're all basically pilots that ride that they control these. They're called Gundam suits, and they're basically mechs. Long arm, long leg. You sit in the chest of it and control it. So you just have this. It's kind of like Pacific Rim. You know how Pacific Rim has those?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like that kind of, but they're called Gundams. Oh. And they're all specialized for each pilot, and they fight against other mech suit kind of things and government. I think it's a government or like a military. I mean, it was pretty good in its early runs.
All right.
But that was a long time ago.
maybe I'll give it a shot with these shorts. So
Dragon Ball Z was good, but then after Z, when they got to a point where you're like, did you just really do a whole episode like that? Did it really need to go 5 episodes before something actually happened? You know, like,
yeah,
like, okay, get to the point. Anyway,
well, if not for that, then Ahsoka would be next for Star Wars anyway.
And our next Marvel bit will be Guardians 3.
Yep.
Which I got the tickets for, plural, this time.
Here we go.
Yes.
Here we go.
Not going by myself.
Not going by myself. Here we go. Yep.
I'm going.
Let's do it.
Let's rock and roll.
Yeah. Did you see stuff about Jonathan Majors?
Yes. Oh my God.
Oh boy.
Was it two projects, non-MCU?
It was like two projects and his management team, his PR team, dropped him. At first, I saw it that he dropped them, but then I saw other articles like, no, they dropped him.
Yeah. You didn't break up with us. We broke up with you.
Yeah. And then, like, two projects they dropped them
Oh.
from, and I'm like, uh-oh. I'm like, oh boy. Oh
Is this
boy.
a situation where the MCU has basically like bonded themselves to him to the point of like the Browns and Deshaun Watson where they're like, "Hey, we're kind of stuck with you." They've done two things so far that have made him for sure Kang the Conqueror, and oh,
That is a good question.
and I hope a good analogy because I think you know, being a Browns fan, I think you know what
Yeah,
I
I
mean.
know. Yeah, we're stuck with him for better or worse. Like, ain't nobody else gonna take that contract. So yeah. We're All right, I was thinking about this like on my way home from work tonight before jumping on. I was thinking about would the MCU recast him? And I was thinking about Ezra Miller in Flash, about all the legal shit that he got into, but he's still Flash, and they're still coming out with his movie.
They get rid of Henry Cavill, who did nothing wrong, and they're stuck with Ezra
Here's what I thought.
Miller.
I thought, thinking about it, like the reason why that he prob the reasons why they're sticking with him. Number one, because of Michael Keaton. That Flash trailer, I'm going to see that movie because of
Because of
Michael
that.
Keaton's Batman. I don't give a shit about Flash, really. And I don't think anybody else does either, right? Everybody wants to see Michael Keaton's Batman. And Supergirl looks cool too, as well. So, I
Yeah, she
mean,
does.
but I think Michael Keaton made that trailer. When that trailer hit, you're like, oh, I mean, you heard about it, like, yeah, he's gonna be in, Flash, whatever. But then when you
When he
see
says,
it,
"I'm Batman," you're like, oh.
and you see the Batmobile, you see the costume that he has. It's like
Yes.
close to the 90, like the original Batman movie outfit that he had. You're like, oh shit, this is awesome. I'm going to see Batman, right? So, number one, Michael Keaton. Number two, the way that the timing works out, if they were to have recast Ezra Miller, they would have had to basically reshoot the entire flipping movie.
Oh,
And
yeah.
James Gunn just took over. He's getting his plan down and his timeline down, getting ready to rock and roll with the new DC EU, right? And it's like, you know what? All right, we already got this here. We're gonna do a reboot of the DCU anyway. We got Michael Keaton. Let's milk this. Let's just roll with
And I
it.
think there may be also something in James Gunn too, a little bit of empathy maybe for the situation with Ezra Miller because of his situation with Marvel.
Yeah.
So maybe he's like, well, let's ride it out at
Let's write it
least.
out. Now, the MCU, on the other hand, I think I saw something that they're going to start filming Kang Dynasty, I think in the spring of next year.
Holy shit. Yeah, well, they're gonna have to.
They still got time to kind of make decisions if they want
Yeah,
to, I
and
think.
maybe so you see him getting dropped from other projects. If he's getting dropped from other projects, that doesn't bode well for him. That means that
Does
those
not.
projects are probably like, we need to distance ourselves from him because this isn't resolving fast.
Yeah, and
So they're
or
probably.
they kind of maybe did their own investigations or more evidence and stuff is coming out, and they're like, let's
And
just
it may have been easier for those projects to distance themselves
right.
because they're not tied to him. Whereas Marvel has already done the Loki show, Loki with He Who Remains. They've already done now Ant-Man with Kang, predominantly in the movie. They're a little more tied to Jonathan Majors than anything else might be. So they might be like, okay, we need to ride this out further. We've got time. We've got time. That's hilarious. Kang and time. Oh my God. We've got time. I just said that. But that may be the case. They may have, you know, closed door discussions with him, but they do have a little more time to make a decision, because if they are going to recast, it's going to have to be quick. But they're going to wait until it's like, okay, is this getting really ugly, or is this just like, look, we need to settle, and okay, it's settled, he's good, or are we going to keep going forward and supporting him? Or are they going to be like, oh, this is bad for our image, this is getting really, really dirty, let's move on?
Yeah.
Because with like Don Cheadle and Terrence Howard, they were in one movie and they didn't even know what the MCU was going to look like. That was easy. Edward Norton to Mark Ruffalo. They already went from Eric Bana to Edward Norton. Like, what's one more person? And there was some issues there anyway, but they hadn't even started the MCU yet. Hulk hadn't even been introduced. You can switch the person. Fine. This is a little more hairy. So.
Well. Yeah, good luck with that, Disney. Damn. We said 2023 was going to be a heck of a year for Jonathan Majors, and it has been so far.
Yeah, we didn't specify what heck of a year was going to mean.
Right. So, yep.
Yeah, and you know, they may also be tiptoeing a little differently around this because of past thing, like what happened with James Gunn. Like, maybe they jumped the gun on him a little too fast. You know, whereas maybe they're giving like a pause on Jonathan Majors. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, like I said, I think they have that flexibility with, you know, they got a little bit of time before they have to start these things. Like with Ezra Miller, like, all right, we're getting ready to start our new DCU.
Yeah.
Like, we got the movie ready and done and out. Like, let's just do it.
Yep.
And then just like kind of like Creed 3, like if this would have came out, this stuff would have happened like right before Creed 3 came out. I mean, they're not going to scrap the movie.
No.
And reshoot it and then release it. You know, they would have been like, fine, let's just go with it.
Yeah.
Like here, Marvel, they have a little time, even though they're a little bit more invested with Kang. They still have a little bit of time before we get way, way deep in the weeds, right? To make a decision to pivot if they want to, if they choose to do that.
I feel like you're giving normal people a little too much credit for knowing how things work behind the scenes. Because you know that nobody thinks about how long it actually takes to do anything, because... Why would they? It's like, I want this movie. You showed me a trailer. When's it coming out? I still got to film it. We still got to do this. No. Give me the movie. It's like, do you realize the process that happens behind the scenes? So for like, what I guess I'm saying is, if the stuff with Jonathan Majors would have come out like a month before Creed 3, they'd have been like, how are you still showing this movie? That guy's a blah, 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 blah.
Because it's already flipping like, done. We're not going to do it all over. We filmed it
already. we're just going to not put the movie out?
You know?
But that would be the case. It'd be like, I can't believe they put this movie in theaters. Yeah. This guy's a blah, blah, blah. And it's like, he's been filming it for probably a year.
Yeah.
They can't change
it. It's already done. We're not going to do it over again.
Right.
This is what you're getting.
People don't think about that. They just look at here's when event A happened, here's when event B is taking place. There's no thought about what happened behind the scenes. All of a sudden it's like, this person supports this, and it's like, no, they don't. They just couldn't change direction.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like with Ezra Miller, like they that movie was done. And at that point for them, it makes no sense for them to recast him and reshoot that movie all over again when they're doing a whole new revamp of the DCU.
Especially when he plays himself like twice.
Yeah.
Now, had they hired somebody who looked similar to play like the other version of himself, that person would have been given like triple promotion. Be like, hey, guess what? We can tweak this movie so that version of Barry Allen is now the Flash, and we can
Yeah.
distance ourselves from Ezra Miller. Genius. But they didn't do that. They cast him to
Nope.
play both roles.
Yep.
Which is silly.
No.
Well, I mean, that's silly. But
I'm
anyway.
excited about that movie, though. I'm excited about that multiversal movie.
Yeah.
More than a little bit of Doctor Strange.
You know,
Probably
and
because of Batman. That's probably
yeah,
why.
that's, and
Because
I
of Michael
think
Keaton's Batman. Yeah.
because that was shown, I think they did that intentionally. Like,
Oh, yeah.
it's like,
Absolutely.
give the people that. We are going to get
I would
people
have
to come see
never been
this.
as hyped as I was up
Right.
until that point.
Oh, for
Yeah.
sure. Yeah, there's no way. And you know, if you think about like No Way Home with Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire,
Yeah.
you know, kind of a maybe a similar excitement.
I
Maybe
mean,
not as much because that's already happened. So you're like, oh, Michael Keaton, this is great. Whereas people are going
to
ballistic
be
about that.
honest with you, to be honest with you, if DCU had the same machine and level that the MCU had, I think the hype level would have been just as much, if not more.
Yeah.
Because I mean, like, for a lot of people, Michael Keaton is their Batman
Oh
because it
yeah.
was like their original Batman.
And you
Even
know
though
what's
Adam West was the original, he's the OG.
But do
In
you know what's funny?
a lot of people's minds, Michael Keaton is the OG.
What's really funny is if you look back at the PR for that movie, nobody liked that they were casting Michael Keaton as Batman.
Right, it was all Jack Nicholson.
Well, okay, yes, but they didn't like Michael Keaton for
Right.
Batman because he had never done a serious role. He'd always done a
Exactly.
lot of comedies.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, a serious Michael Keaton as Batman, this isn't gonna work. And he was fantastic.
Yeah.
It's almost along the lines of the crap Heath Ledger got for Joker. They're like, oh, A Knight's Tale is playing Joker, and he was stellar.
Yeah.
You know, again, people not giving credit because they see one thing and they're like, nope, that's the only thing I can see. I can't see past that.
Well, that was just like, well, we're on that line. Freaking Robert Pattinson. Like
Right.
I never seen the Twilight movies, so I don't
No,
have
neither
that
have I.
reference. I don't have that reference, and I thought he was outstanding.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people who say, oh, I can't see him as Batman because of Twilight and
That's
all this other
just it's
stuff.
just so narrow-minded.
Yeah.
Give people a chance. I mean,
Yeah.
I'd not so here's the thing, I had not watched the Twilight movies. I've not watched
I
any of
haven't
them.
either.
No. I've read the books. Wow. Not that great, but I had seen enough of the I've read the books, so I pictured the character. I had not seen the movies. I've seen enough of the media hype and all the hype behind it and this and that to get a perspective of what he was. For me, he's not Edward from Twilight. For me, he's Cedric Diggory from Harry Potter. Okay, so didn't bother me with him being Batman. I was kind of like, I'm interested to see how he's going to portray him, but I wasn't like, oh, never.
Yeah.
Never had that thought.
Yeah. But I think once those people saw it, they're like, oh, this is actually pretty good.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah. So.
There's a lot of role casting. Like, I wonder how people feel about Will Poulter for Adam Warlock. There was a lot of crap about that too because of some of the roles he's had. Like, that's who you cast as Adam Warlock? Obviously, they've done a stellar job casting with the MCU stuff. I mean, if you're going to give them flack for who they're casting as Adam Warlock this far down the line, you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
Seriously.
But, yeah, here we go.
Anyway, we've taken quite the tangent. This has been like a...
Well, it was like a 30-minute tangent. MCU pant tangent. We MCU, our next MCU project. And then...
a rant tangent, a rant gent.
So...
All right. Well, that wraps it up for me. How about you, partner?
I think that's it.
Okay. Well, we'll see you next with the Guardians of the Galaxy 3 show.
Yep.
I won't have to hide my phone for hand wave texts because we'll be seeing it at the same time, which is great. By the way, who was sending hand wave
texts
today?
Yes, I was
today?
Getting the hand wave text this morning.
That's right. Ouch. I bumped something. Yeah, I was the one sending it. It was funny because Val was like, you need to send him a hand wave. I was like, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
there's that. Well, that wraps up our show and the trilogy of The Mandalorian.
Yes.
The end of
season
3. Very
satisfying ending. And, yeah. We're looking forward to the future, which I think will probably be a season 4.
I think so too. But next for us will be Ahsoka. So yep. We'll see how that goes. So thanks for listening. For Din Hawkeye.
Mm-hmm.
This is Din Hot Take. And
as always,
hold on to your butts.
Boom.